Hey, back again for the second video of this Thursday, August the 29th, on the Bernie Show YouTube channel. And thank you for all of your great support. I'm going to thank you every single time, even if you get sick of it. Really thrilled by the way things are going. The interest level continues to grow, and it's all because of your enthusiastic support and also the comments that you leave under each video. It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Gosh, I'm a fortunate guy. Seriously, I'm very fortunate. It's college football season. And Mizzou starts tonight against Murray State in Como. Some preliminary comments, though, about college football in general and my love for it. People have asked me a lot of times, not so much anymore, because I haven't been at the Post-Dispatch STL today since, spring, early summer of 2015. But people have asked me, you know, why I decided to make a career change. And there's a lot of reasons, and I'm not going to go into any of the professional reasons, and everything is fine. I love the Post-Dispatch then. I love it now. But on a personal level, I was getting to a time and a stage, whatever you want to use as far as a frame, where from the early 1980s through the time that I left Post-Dispatch, I'll try to talk quicker. I'm being very deliberate for some reason. I realize there's some things that I've been missing out on that I really didn't feel like missing out on anymore. And number one is just having the chance to spend more time with my wife and, you know, wives of sports writers, sports columnists, girlfriends of sports writers, sports columnists. I mean, it is not easy because, listen, and by the way, I'm not playing the violin. I'm not asking anyone to like feel sorry for me. I've had a great career. I had a great career at the Post-Dispatch. I was thrilled with it. But one of the things was, I love college football. Man, do I love college football. And I've loved it since, you know, being at my maternal grandparents' house, my late mother, Betty Lee, she came from Southern people, whereas on my father's side came from Polish people. So I grew up with a pretty interesting mix of family. But anyway, you're probably saying, get on with it. All right. I have very wonderful memories of being a really young Bernie. And my grandfather, Herb Andrews, loved to watch college football, and he really loved to watch Alabama, and he really loved Bear Bryant. And so as much as college football was on TV, and it was limited back then, I just loved watching the games every Saturday. I mean, I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. And so then when I go into writing for it, the Baltimore News American, Dallas Morning News, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I didn't get a chance to, other than the games that I covered, you know, covering Mizzou games, sometimes on the road, sometimes Illinois games, sometimes national games, but I never could just kick back and, you know, figuratively speaking, put my feet up and watch college football from late morning till late at night. And that was one of the things I was really looking forward to. Once I knew sports writers, broadcast or whatever, that, you know, we don't get much. There aren't many weekends off unless it's a planned vacation, right? So I'm just like, man, I don't know what it's like to have weekends off. It's just like all those years, because I covered 30 some Super Bowls in a row, and it sounds glamorous and all that. It's I mean, it's a job. I loved it. I failed fortune. I was in a position to do it. But my point being, I used to say, man, I wish I could go to Super Bowl parties. How come I never get to go to Super Bowl parties? Because I'm covering the Super Bowl. And it's a lot more work than people think. So I'm like, you know, there's going to be some benefits to doing this other than, you know, a nice contract and everything else. It's going to be, I get to watch all the college football I want. I'm going to close the door to my lair, which is where I am now. It's kind of my, I don't like the term man cave. I say lair. That's where, this is me. It's where I do my work. This is where I watch sports. This is, it's Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys in my room. That's me, right? I come here and think about life and think about problems and, you know, work it all out of my head. It's I don't know. Listen, sometimes I got to get personal on these, right? So I'm in a really happy place because I get to watch all the NFL football on Sundays, and I've got access to where I can record every game and go back and see what I want to see. And then I love college football. So it's taken me almost 6 minutes to get to the fact that I want to talk about Mizzou, but I'm just giving you a background just to let you know how much this means to me to be able to be a college football fan. I couldn't find my Mizzou hat. I'm going to have to order another one. All right. Great expectations for Coach Drink and his staff and his players in 2024 for obvious reasons. 11 wins a year ago, beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, finished in the top 10. Coach Drinkwitz has built this thing up with outstanding recruiting, not only high school, but he has been terrific in terms of the transfer portal, and he's created kind of culture that players from other programs want to be a part of. And Drinkwitz is, in my opinion, the ideal coach for Mizzou for these times. When they hired him, I liked the hire. First couple years or so, you know, I wondered, you know, shouldn't this be better? And I knew there was some pressure on him to, you know, start piling up some wins, right, instead of the usual 6-win seasons. So there was some pressure on him, and he came through. The squad came through last year, and it was a marvelous experience. I hooted and hollered at the television set every single game. And I looked forward to writing about it the next day at ScoopsNetwork.com, and I'm going to be doing that this year, and I'm going to be doing videos on Mizzou this year. So it's funny, though, because you know, everything's going so well with Mizzou. A lot of it has to do with Drinkwitz. A lot of it has to do with politicians in Jefferson City, because Mizzou's got some of the most progressive NIL rules in college football, which gives them an advantage over many programs. And the funding has been really good, but the kind of the freedom of what Mizzou can do in using the NIL is really fantastic. So Mizzou football, in terms of adjusting to this new era, which has left some coaches and some programs just very uncomfortable, still trying to get comfortable, like Dabo Sweeney at Clemson's a really good example of that. But Drinkwitz hit the ground running, man. He's a salesman. And when I say that, it is not a pejorative. I mean, having worked in sports talk radio, I can testify to the vital importance of having people who know how to sell. And when you don't have people at the station in the sales department who know how to sell, it's kind of like, oh, well, I guess we'll, you know, I guess this place is closing down now. So I respect the heck out of people who know how to sell. And all I can sell is myself. If I had to come into your home and try to talk you into some kind of life insurance policy, you'd laugh. I'd be stammering worse than I normally do. I'm not good at it. I don't know how people do it. So Drink is a natural born salesman. And given the demands, the incredible demands on college football coaches in the major conference level nowadays, you better have a salesman. You better have somebody who can network. You better have somebody who can pitch it. You better have somebody who can, you know, get the money people to come on in and help Coach Drink. Need your help. I like the way he rallies fans. Anyway, Mizzou football's in a really, really good spot. Really, really good spot. The best spot it's been. You don't need me to tell you this, since Coach Pinkel led the Tigers to consecutive SEC East titles 2013-14. And, you know, Mizzou in the back-to-back conference championship. No, they didn't win. I really thought they should have won the Auburn game, but they had some problems adjusting to the Auburn running game. one of the Auburn players who was a Ram, and Trey Mason, told me, he said, "Big man, they were lined up in the wrong defense all day. I think we were scared. We thought Mizzou was going to win this game, but then we made a couple changes in how we were running it, and they never adjusted. And it was like easy. It was like eating ice cream." And I'm saying, man, why'd you have to tell me that? But they could have won that game. Anyway, the fact is they did not. However, and I know this thing has made the rounds. I'm going to look at my notes. You know, for Mizzou to be in two consecutive SEC title games, or even to be in two conference title games since they joined the conference in 2012, that ain't nothing to sneeze at. And I know they haven't won it. But I'm not being negative, positive here. I mean, I'm going to be positive here, not negative. All right. Since 2012, Mizzou's been in two conference championship games, right? That's more than Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, combined. So we've seen even in the pre-NIL transfer portal era that Mizzou can reach really impressive heights. And, you know, Coach Pinkel had him ranked final poll number 5 one year. And then I think the next year, they were way up there. I forget the ranking, and please forgive me. I should have memorized that. But then it kind of fell apart again. And this is the test for Coach Drink and his burgeoning program. The key is to get to a higher level and then stay there, right? Coach Pinkel, for all his incredible efforts, wasn't able to do that. Drink is capable of doing it for all the things I've mentioned so far in the video. And that's why there's also a lot of pressure on that program and that coach this year, because it's like, okay, Mizzou, you had a great year in 2023, no doubt about it. And the talent upgrades are obvious. And you got so many returning players. And yeah, you got a new defensive coordinator, and you may be a little younger on defense, so that's a question. You don't have the thicker kicker. Who's going to hit those money field goals late in the final game, you know, late in the final minute or whatever? And that's a question. I think the defense will be fine, but how good? I think that's the question. There's a lot of pressure on Mizzou, and someone who is excited about the season. I'm also really nervous about the season because teams are going to be coming after the Tigers this year. Because it's like, oh, look at them. So they think they're among the elite now. Oh, they're going to make the playoffs. Is that right? They have one good season. It's like, oh, you know, but hey, well, back up. Here comes Mizzou. What? We're scared. I'm being sarcastic, of course. And what that means is there's going to be so many people on their schedule. They're lined up to take Mizzou down. They are lined up to take them down. And the thing about playing at the higher level, you can't afford to slip up. Even in the 12-team playoff, Mizzou can't afford to, like, lose a couple of games they should not lose. And so I'm nervous. As a fan, I'm nervous about that. Because they're not the team now that, you know, for years has been hunting down the best teams in the SEC. Now they're part, at least this year, they're part of the group of teams in the SEC that everyone else is trying to hunt down. That's an extra burden. It's wonderful, but it creates an extra burden, extra pressure. So listen, I think I saw in Vegas, like, the over under is 9.5 wins. That seems about right. I think if they get to 10 wins, they're in the playoffs. When they get to 9, it's I don't think it's a certain thing, because it all depends on who they lose to. But really, they got a great schedule. You all know that. Very advantageous schedule. No Georgia, no Texas, no Ole Miss, no LSU, no Tennessee. They have to go to Alabama. They have to go to Texas A&M. They've got Oklahoma at home. So the point is, as you all know, Mizzou fans, this is set up really wonderfully for the Tigers. But can they avoid trap games? Like, Boston College is sneaky good. The game will be in Columbia, so that'll help. They're going to fall in any trap games. Can they beat Oklahoma at home? Can they get to 10 wins? I think they can. I'm not cocky about it, though. I'm really not, because Mizzou's going to be tested a lot more this year than they were last season, because now they're one of the big dogs. Enjoy the season. We'll be talking about Mizzou a lot. Thank you very much.